Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Bart Simpson, who waves the green in the 2026 NASCAR Cup Series season, is underway.
Around goes the machine of BJ McLeod. William Byron may have gotten a piece of that.
Green and white checkered flag waving at the start-finish line. Zane Smith will lead and win the opening stage.
Justin Allgaier leads the Daytona 500. They're crashing. Allgaier put the block on topside, made contact, and we've got a big one here at Daytona.
Flag will be waving to indicate the end of the second stage. Bubba Wallace will win it.
Trouble on four. They start wrecking as they've got into the wall, coming off of the corner and wreck towards the front straightaway.
There will be four laps to go in the Great American Race. Somebody looking to put their name in the history books.
The field comes apart. In turn number one, we stay under the green flag.
Chase Elliott, the leader. Here comes Tyler Reddick. He'll make the move. They're crashing behind him. Elliott's in the wall. Checkered flag is out. Tyler Reddick wins the 68th running of the Daytona 500.
And that's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network, the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a wonderful day, a wonderful race weekend. We're excited to have you with you for have you with us for episode number two of this 2026 season. And it was a thrilling end to the Daytona 500. Tyler Reddick winning his first Great American Race. They were wrecking on the last lap, but ultimately it was Reddick holding on to win. He led one lap, and it was the only one that mattered, the last one. And he was able to take that 45 car for 2311 Racing to victory lane and get the win. I thought it was a good race. I thought it was fun. I put a poll question on my X account, at Chase on Game, if you want to follow along. I'll put some poll questions out, you know, before the show each week. But I asked you, with the Daytona 500, it had nearly 7.5 million viewers on Fox. It was up 11% in the ratings from last year. How would you rate this year's race? And the majority was a B, 37.5%. Gave it a B. I think that's fair. I think, you know, people were a little down on the fuel mileage stuff, and how that shouldn't be the case at Super Speedway Racing. But nonetheless, I thought it was a good race. It was obviously an exciting ending, and ultimately it was Tyler Reddick getting the win. Here was Reddick in the post-race press conference talking about all the emotions.
Well, it wasn't until I was basically back around in front of the Speedway on the cool down lap when someone finally said, yes, you won the race. Because obviously, you know, a number of these races have played out where, I mean, I crossed the start finish line first, but in the moment, I'm not looking for, you know, the flashing yellow lights or the green light on the fence. So I'm just, you know, did I win? Are you sure you won? You know, it took a couple of minutes to get that verification. But in the moment, cross start finish line, I mean, the only time I've ever felt the level of emotions I did in that moment was winning the pole at the Charlotte Roval when Rookie was in the hospital. Just, you know, for me, that was a whole different set of reasons, right? Like everything that my son was going through, our family was going through. But crossing the start finish line first here in this race, the race that, I watched a lot of NASCAR racing growing up, but I would never miss a Daytona 500 as a little kid growing up out in California, you know, sitting with my family on Sunday watching this race. And I just, again, dreamed of one day just having an opportunity to run this race. And I've had, you know, this is my eighth opportunity to run this race, I believe. And it wasn't the smoothest day, but, you know, when it mattered at the very end, we did a really good job of being in the mix. And we had that caution with, you know, 8 or 9 laps to go. It was hitting me like the weight of the moment, how this situation that I am getting ready to be in on this restart is a situation I've been dying to have, an opportunity I've been dying to have my entire life. And to kind of screw it up and lose the lead a couple laps in, and, you know, the top's rolling, taking the white, I was like, damn, that sucks. And then, I mean, they wrecked, and it was just, you know, it may have seemed chaotic watching it, but from my seat, the whole last lap played out really slow and really smooth, and everything kind of just fell into place how I wanted it to.
Tyler Reddick was asked later in the press conference if he thought he owed Riley Herbst a beer, and he said, "I'll buy him whatever he wants for helping me win the Daytona 500." His teammate, obviously both share a sponsorship with Monster Energy, and so I think he probably owes him one after that. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was second, Joey Logano third, Chase Elliott fourth, albeit all these guys were crashing as they went across the start-finish line. Brad Keselowski comes home fifth. Then it's Zane Smith, Chris Buescher, Riley Herbst, Josh Berry, and Bubba Wallace rounding out the top 10. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I thought, you know, when Chase Elliott got kind of taken out, you know, Chase was coming out of four, had the lead. Everybody was thinking, oh, maybe it's Chase's day, and unfortunately it was not. I thought Stenhouse was possibly going to get the win. He didn't. He finished second. Here was his conversation with Fox Sports.
Well, so close to a second Daytona 500 championship, had to settle for second place. Bring me through that final lap.
It was wild. You know, restarting 13th there, felt like we pick and chose, you know, the right lane, especially down the back straightaway. I told my spotter I wanted to, you know, probably get up to the top eventually, and we kind of worked our way up there. And then all of a sudden we're, you know, pushing, we're in the top five, and, you know, anything can happen from there. And the wreck happened. We took the lead going into one. I was, you know, kind of praying for a caution there. But NASCAR did a good job letting it, you know, race back to the line. And then I thought we were done down the back straightaway. And then all of a sudden, the 22 and I got hooked up. And, you know, wreck happened there coming to the line. You know, the seas parted. I thought I was going to go through to take the win. And I didn't see the 45 so far out front. So got clipped by the 22. But our Chef Boyardee Chevrolet ran really, really strong there when we needed it to. We had a strategy to, you know, go to the back from the start and be around at the end. And everything worked out perfectly. The guys did a great job preparing a car. And we'll take a top five, a second place finish, close to another Daytona 500. Bittersweet. But, you know, good momentum. We'll go to Atlanta and try and get one.
So that is former Daytona 500 winner Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who comes home second in the Great American Race. That ending, I'm watching it. I'm with my buddy Rick. We're kind of like, you know, I don't think who was lead, you know, coming to the start finish line. I'm like, they're not going to win the race. That never happens. The first wreck happens. Chase Elliott is basically given the lead, goes out front, has it all the way down the back stretch, and I'm even thinking, unfortunately, Chase is not going to win this thing. And it turned out to be right. So here's Chase Elliott with Fox Sports talking about the ending of the race.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what happened with the first wreck. Kind of obviously that's a little, you know, further around. But, you know, we ended up, you know, kind of getting gifted the lead. And the 38 and I had got out by ourselves down the back. And, he gave me a good shove off into three. And then it was kind of just he and I. And at that point, I just felt momentum shift. You know, like there was going to be another run coming behind us there at some point. And unfortunately, that was accurate. And then, you know, at that point in time, you're just on defense. And, man, that's a really, really tough place to be, you know, truthfully. And, you know, I obviously looking back, you can run it through your mind 1,000 times. You know, do you do something different? Do you, you know, I feel like if I had thrown a double block on the 45, probably would have just crashed us at that point in time. So I feel like you had to kind of pick your battles. I thought maybe, you know, somebody would pick me up on the top and you might have one more run to the line, but unfortunately ended up, you know, getting turned around. But appreciate all the effort, everybody, Hendrick Motorsports, Napa, Chevrolet. Thought we had a good speed week down here. And, you know, it obviously hate to – just really sucks to be that close and, you know, come off turn four with the lead and you know, not finish it off. But that's part of this event. You know, and unfortunately, we were on the bad end of it today.
And that's Chase Elliott after the race and finishing fourth. I will say, well, Bob Pockrass is going to join from Fox Sports at the bottom of the hour. We're going to ask him about this. I think he's one to watch this weekend in Atlanta, based off, you know, he got away from him in Daytona. He won the last race in Atlanta. He's very good on super speedways, but a tough one there. And look, that would have been a popular win. I don't hate Tyler Reddick winning the race, though. With everything that – and look, if you're on the NASCAR side of the lawsuit, that's fine. If you're on the 2311 side, you know, Tyler Reddick had a tough year last year with everything going on in the racetrack, and then his son, Rookie, was having medical issues, and he ends up being at the race and in victory lane with him. So, I mean, how could you not be happy for the guy? I mean, that's kind of how I felt about it. But, you know, I just thought it was and if you go and look at the results of the weekend, Front Row Motorsports wins Friday night at the Truck Series. Richard Childress, who was, you know, a key part in things, wins on Saturday, and then 2311 wins the Daytona 500. It was like the racing gods were making it all right. But it feels like that everything is all right, that both sides are cool now. It opened up lines of communication that weren't there before, that needed to be there, and now things can finally move on. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes, but part of it is, I think, having Michael Jordan in NASCAR. This was Denny Hamlin representing the owner of 2311 Racing, which he is part owner of, and talking about how important it is to have MJ in the sport.
Well, it's big for the sport. I mean, he's the most popular athlete in the world. I don't think there's any disputing that. You know, he loves the sport, and certainly, you know, he goes to a lot of races. Sometimes you don't even see him and he's there. He makes more races than people know. But he loves this race team. In that same meeting that we had just a few weeks ago with the team, I reminded them about Talladega and how excited he was on pit road. And I was like, you know, do you guys understand the responsibilities that you have, that you have the power to bring joy to Michael Jordan? Like, you have that power, and nobody else can do it. There's nothing else that can bring him the joy that seeing his team can do. And they took it to heart today.
That was Denny Hamlin on his fellow owner with 2311 Racing, Michael Jordan. Michael came in and changed the game, pun intended. And it was a game that needed to change. You know, I've loved this sport since I was a kid, but there needed to be more collaboration between NASCAR, which is the France family and those that work for them, the owners, and the drivers. You know, the teams and the drivers. They all need to work together to make this sport work. And sharing the money is a part of that. And I think MJ, having been in the NBA and been a part of labor talks and, you know, all that stuff, was the perfect guy to come in and kind of help move that along. It got uncomfortable. There were some hurt feelings. Unfortunately, somebody like Steve Phelps lost their job over it. But at the end of the day, they're going to come out of the tunnel on a better side of things, and I think work more together on how the sport needs to move forward. So they got a lot of smart people on both sides. I'm a big fan of Ben Kennedy. I'm a big fan of Steve O'Donnell with NASCAR. I'm a big fan of Denny Hamlin. You know, I may not always agree with him, but I think that he has been one of those drivers that, hey, I'm gonna say the things that nobody wants to say. I'm gonna do the things that nobody wants to do because I want to leave this better than I found it. And so I think that they have certainly needed that. So with the Daytona 500 in the rear view, everybody was excited. Now the season, you know, truly begins. How does NASCAR and everyone move forward now that the lawsuit is behind them? We'll talk about that more coming up next here on Chasing Checkers. Bob Pockris from Fox Sports will join me at the bottom of the hour as well. Chasing Checkers on 102.5 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game. And again, you can go and check out the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We're on iHeart. We're on all those things. Or you can simply go to thegamenashville.com and find it there. We're working on a lot of different things for this season and making this thing even bigger and better than it was before. But appreciate the support. Bob Pockris going to join me, Chase McCabe, coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, but still reacting to the Daytona 500 and the big win by Tyler Reddick of 2311 Racing. And this is on the heels of the lawsuit that 2311 Front Row Motorsports had against NASCAR. It all came to a head in the offseason. They ended up settling out of court, and now they move forward, and hopefully everything is going to be good. moving forward. Because, look, I think this was a necessary evil, that the communication was not where it needed to be. I think there's some good ideas. The charter system, I understand it, that it is an opportunity for everybody to make money, but the teams looked at it, and, you know, 2311 and Front Row Motorsports in particular looked at it as it's still more beneficial to NASCAR than it is to us, and they took a chance. They bet on themselves, and I think ultimately they won. And if this thing had gone further, both sides were going to lose, and it was going to get bad, and it was going to change the sport in a way that may be negative, and it was never going to be able to come back from. I think the sport is still going to change, but in a positive way, with them working together and having more collaboration. And for those of you in Nashville, collaboration may be a bad word, but I think in this instance, it works. So Denny Hamlin goes to the press conference after the race to be the owner of 2311. And of course, it was brought up, and he was asked, you know, about now moving forward and how things can grow from there. This was Denny's answer.
I think December was a wake-up call. I think that the conversations since then has been a lot of self-reflection, in my opinion, from NASCAR about I think that they would have done things differently had they had the opportunity to. But we knew that we needed to stick up for what we believed was right. I said all along, I was very confident for the last year because I knew what the facts were, but we have to now figure out how we can get the sport back where it was decades ago. And in order to do that, the only way we can do it is we're all going to have to pull the rope in the same direction. You know, even conversations that I've had with NASCAR executives as late as a couple days ago, sitting in a bus talking about what do we need to be 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now? What does the sport need to look like? Those were all really good conversations, and they were very open to, you know, suggestions and this is just, it's a little different now. Now, the proof will be in what happens, right? You know, is there actions behind the words? But it seems like there's more of a collaborative pull of the rope than what I've, even since December. The team owner meetings were much more productive than what they've been really since I've been an owner. So it seems like they're willing to make the changes that it needs to make the sport grow, because we're all going to be better when the sport grows, and we've got to work really, really hard at it, but I think we can get there.
And that's Denny Hamlin. And look, I don't disagree with what he said there. You know, I think the proof is going to be in the pudding. You know, are you going to back up the things that you say and do the things that you say? That is what's going to have to happen first. But the fact that they're having open dialogue on where the sport needs to go. And listen, Denny Hamlin has always been this guy. I will never forget. Ironically, it was at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I went down to cover that race, and they did a driver kind of, you know, get together. Like, they brought in like the top 20 drivers in points, and Denny was one of them. And I remember asking him, because he had been pretty outspoken on some things to that point, and I said, you know, you aren't afraid to say what is on your mind and what needs to change. Why do you feel like you got to be the guy to do that? And he looked me in the eye and basically said, look, I want to leave this better than I found it. And it's a great sport. It's been great for me and my family, but I want these young drivers aren't going to do that right now, and they need to, and they need to speak up for themselves, and they need to defend themselves. And so I'm trying to do that for them. So when I'm not in the sport anymore, you know, as a driver, now this was before 2311, that I can, you know, leave it better than the way I found it, and they can have an opportunity to, you know, really flourish with a sport that's kicking butt you know, like as he mentioned in the clip, that it was doing 20 years ago. You know, we just talked about the 25th anniversary of Dale Earnhardt's death and how much the sport has changed since Dale Earnhardt died. There's not a Dale Earnhardt. They don't have that guy anymore. Chase Elliott's the most popular driver. He's like one of those guys. He's not Dale Jr. So they have got to – they don't have Darrell Waltrip. They don't have Rusty Wallace. They have a new crop of drivers, and so you've got to be able to build off of that and find those personalities and stop relying on what was. I was blown away, and Bob Pockris will be our guest here in a few minutes. He did a piece for Fox Sports talking about the, you know, we've lost Dale Earnhardt special that they did. And one of the things he said was 25 years after his death, Dale Earnhardt is still top 10 in merchandise sales. Like, that doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, like, it's cool, and I'm glad that people are remembering one of the greatest drivers to ever do it, but at the same time, that's kind of a problem because you have a bunch of drivers that you should be able to market, and they got to do a better job of that. And so I think that, as he said, everybody's got to pull the rope in the same direction. They got to talk more. They got to be on the same page. And then that's how they're going to be able to pull the rope in the same direction and ultimately get to where everybody wants to get to, and that is making a lot of money, selling out racetracks, having great television ratings, you know, having almost 7.5 million viewers, beating out the Olympics, having 11% growth. That was fantastic. They needed that. Fox needed that. They needed people to see that. And I think there was a really good feeling going into race weekend. But that's the Daytona 500. How do you keep that going this weekend at Atlanta? How do you keep that going next weekend at COTA? And so on and so forth. That's where the dialogue and the discussion has to continue, and hopefully it will. This is Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Chase McCabe with you. Coming up next, we'll talk to Bob Pockris from Fox Sports. He's all over pit road, both in the NASCAR garage and the IndyCar garage. We'll get into a little bit of both coming up next. Again, if you miss any episode, just subscribe to the podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, Amazon as well, and also on YouTube. Just search for Chasing Checkers or simply go to thegamenashville.com. It's Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game.
This is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday as we get ready for Echo Park Speedway, formerly known as Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend, but fresh off the Daytona 500, and to talk more about that, we say hello to the wonderful from Fox Sports, Bob Pockris, who joins us now. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great here at Echo Park Speedway, looking at some trucks and be looking at some cup cars here pretty soon.
Well, I we'll get into that here in a second, but I know you at Fox have to be excited. 11% increase, almost 7.5 million viewers for the Daytona 500. The weather cooperated. It came in later. They got the race in. It was an exciting finish, and I think it was just a cool vibe going into race weekend because no more lawsuit, and it was just strictly focused on racing, so everybody had to be happy about that.
Yeah, and I think people are stoked about the new point system or the old point system. What's old is new again. And, you know, a lot of, you know, just the build up to the 500, you know, with Tony Stewart coming back and racing a truck and everything. It was, you know, there was a lot of good feeling there. And then, you know, you talk about a wild finish to the Daytona 500 and Michael Jordan celebrating in victory lane. And I think people are smiling pretty big.
Yeah, and kind of going back to what I said with the vibe, and there's this kind of, I don't know if it's a new era, but like kind of a fresh era where the hurt feelings are being worked through and the lawsuit is done. What is that vibe that you feel when you're around both the owners and people in NASCAR?
I think the feeling is that they know that the foundation of the lawsuit was partially because they just had not collaborated well enough. You know, they tried right? They tried to work together on a lot of things, but for whatever reason, there just wasn't as much trust and as much collaboration as you would want and as you probably need. And that's, there's no like blame on either side. That's just kind of the way things evolved over the last 10 years. And I think now there is a feeling that, okay, you know, if you don't collaborate, if you don't trust, then you're going to be in the same position over another issue in 10 or 15 years. But if you can work together and, you know, and I mean, still there's going to be differences of opinion, but if you can work together maybe a little better on things, then that can go a long, long way.
Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports is with us. Denny Hamlin was at the forefront of all of this as an owner, but he's also a driver. So how do the drivers kind of fit into the collaboration mm-hmm. moving forward? Because that's something we've talked about forever and how important that's going to be too.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the one question is if the charters are going to end up being worth more, and the teams will be getting not a huge increase, but still a little bit of increase in money over the length of the charter. Then the question is, where does that money go, right?
Yeah.
And so my question is, are the drivers going to raise their hand first? You know, they got more of the power. But I think they also feel like that they, you know, that they have a voice in this sport. And I think they feel like that after everything from the off season, that maybe their voice will be, I think it's always been listened to, but maybe more action taking on what they're saying.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's been listened to, but I think they've also always had, you know, that one or two guys that could have NASCAR's ear, like Dale Earnhardt was one of those guys. You know, I think Denny Hamlin has kind of put himself into that point, but I think the question will be moving forward, who can be that guy, or is there going to be some sort of collective mm-hmm. bargain, yeah. you know, thing that they're going to have to come up with?
Yeah, I mean, they do have a driver's advisory council,
right?
So there is kind of a core group of drivers who work with Jeff Burton and some others to try to address issues that the drivers face. And like, you know, when they go to San Diego, there'll be a lot of discussion between that group and NASCAR, just as far as if there are any issues with the track layout and everything. But, you know, again, I think I think you're still kind of waiting to see. I would say one driver who's really probably emerged big is Christopher Bell. He's mm-hmm. become much more comfortable in his voice after the way he handled him not making the championship round in 2024.
Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports is with us here on Chasing Checkers on 102.5 The Game. So Tyler Reddick wins the race, and we know what kind of talent he has, last year being a tough year for the organization in 2311 with everything they were dealing with off the track. So what does this mean moving forward for that 45 car and the momentum that they now have going into this season?
Well, I mean, it erases certainly any doubts on whether they could win or not. You would say, well, after winning the regular season title in 2024, they shouldn't doubt it. But when you go a full season without winning, those thoughts potentially creep in. You know, and the question, do you need to make changes and what's wrong? So now that they got this win, you know, they're a big boost in the points, right? You know, the start. And so that can lead to more confidence and, you know, just being able to relax a little bit in the sense of just not having as much angst over when you're going to win.
I know it's kind of hard to look at a super speedway and really determine if a guy's back or has it or not, but mm-hmm. watching Kyle Busch in RCR through speed week, sitting on the pole, having a chance to win, obviously, you know, got caught up in all the mess. Do you feel like that they've put the leadership structure in place where Kyle specifically and RCR can be competitive again?
I think they have, you know, whether how quickly that comes is still to be determined. And you probably won't know until, I would say, Vegas, Phoenix, Darlington coming up later this month.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports is with us. So Echo Park Speedway, Atlanta Motor Speedway, I think last July, I believe it was one of the best races of the season that Chase Elliott ended up winning. We've seen this track change, you know, since the repave and the reconfiguration. It races more like a super speedway, but it's also starting to maybe come back to an intermediate. What do you expect this weekend?
I expect it to race as a super speedway. Just, you know, you don't, I mean, look, with the weather here and the way this track kind of evolves, you know, handling is certainly much more come into play than it does at Daytona. That's why maybe you don't see the fuel mileage game, because they can, you can make moves, right? You can, if you're not necessarily worried as much about track position at every moment. So I do think it'll race like a super speedway, especially when you think about short reaction time if things are going wrong.
With Chase Elliott being oh so close to the Daytona 500, he won the last race at Echo Park Speedway. In your mind, is he one of the favorites, if not the favorite, coming into this weekend?
Absolutely. You know, and don't forget, he won one of the duels at Daytona, right?
Yeah.
So I think he certainly will be one of the favorites, if not the favorite.
I've heard a lot of people say that the new old Chase format would really fit him in how he's raced throughout the years. Do you agree with that sentiment, that this is a format that could really benefit Chase Elliott?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you talk about a guy who you know, he runs top 10 virtually, you know, three quarters or more of the time. The one thing that he will need to do is qualify better, because he needs those early stage points, right? I think you look at his finishes and you say it should benefit him, but he definitely needs to be able to get those points in the opening stage. And to get that, you need to qualify better than he has.
Bob, you're also on IndyCar with Fox, and that season will open in a week, I guess it is. Who stands out to you as being a favorite this year? Obviously, we know that the Joseph Newgarden and Alex Palou, I mean, the usual suspects are going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to predict that Alex Palou is going to win eight races again this year, but he certainly obviously comes in as a three-time defending champ, so he's going to be your favorite. And then, you know, I think everybody would say, well, Pato O'Ward keeps kind of inching up and up the standings. Second last year, can he make the jump? And then I think everybody's all going to look at Will Power now at Andretti after 17 years at Team Penske and wonder, like, gosh, can he, what can he do at an organization that's been known to be really strong on street courses? And they seem to keep adding more and more of those.
I love that there's going to be a NASCAR IndyCar weekend at Phoenix. I really hope we can see more of those in the future. I understand, you know, the tires are different, and putting the rubber down on the track is a big reason why. But how beneficial do you think it's going to be for both leagues to have a doubleheader weekend like that?
I think it's going to be good, you know, and they've had them in the past, like on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course. But you're talking about a track and a circuit that where they both have strong histories, right? And so IndyCar coming back to Phoenix, you know, hopefully they can get a second groove in and it can be a dynamic race. But just seeing those cars there and seeing them on the same weekend as the Cup car, you're going to get a real good perspective. Look, I was at the test this week in Phoenix for the IndyCars. They were going, you know, their lap times are in the mid 20 seconds, while a Cup car goes around there in 26 seconds. So,
yeah,
you're talking more than 40 miles per hour per faster on the lap. The IndyCars aren't lifting. The IndyCar drivers aren't lifting off the throttle there. It's going to be hopefully a good race and just a great motorsports event.
Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports is with us. Bob, thanks so much for doing this today. It's good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you.
Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports. You can read his work at foxsports.com, follow him on Twitter at Bob Pockrass, and see him, of course, as a part of their race day coverage on both NASCAR and IndyCar, and appreciate him for joining us. Coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, we'll get you set from racing from Echo Park Speedway, also known as Atlanta. That is all ahead here on 102.5 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Bob Pockrass of Fox Sports for joining us in the last segment. One thing about this show is some names you are familiar with that you see on TV, you will hear them on this show throughout the year, and we're just getting started on that. We'll have some drivers that NASCAR will provide, especially when they get close to us at the Nashville Super Speedway or Bristol or Talladega, what have you, but you never know who's going to pop up. And that's why you want to subscribe to the podcast by going to Chasing Checkers, both in Apple, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, we are there. And we'll be here on most Friday nights live on 102.5 The Game. But check thegamenashville.com for that, because there may be some conflicts with Vanderbilt baseball. You can also hear a replay during the weekend as well. So let's get you set for Echo Park Speedway or the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And kind of doing some digging on this. Obviously, Chase Elliott is coming off the win, as he won back in June. What a race it was. He started 15th. He ended up winning the thing. He led 41 laps in the victory. He was ninth in stage one, second in stage two, and then ends up taking the victory for that number nine. He finished 20th in the race last year in February. He had an 8th, a 15th, a 13th. He won in 2022, a 6th in the March race in 2022, and then 7th in July of 21, 38th in March of 21, and then an 8th, a 19th, 10th, 5th, and 8th. And obviously some of that is on the old configuration and where it didn't really race like a super speedway as it does now. So Chase Elliott was asked by the Motor Racing Network of just hearing that roar of the crowd. He's the hometown guy and definitely the most popular driver in Atlanta, and what that means.
It just felt like genuine excitement and appreciation, and I don't think you can really replicate that, you know. And that's other people had asked me about that after the race, and that people that were there, you know, were like, man, you should have been sitting in the stands. It was the craziest thing ever. And that's just really cool, you know, because like you go to a concert or you go watch your favorite artist play, and that's how they are after every song, you know. And I'm like, man, this is, yeah, those guys have the crowd in the palm of their hands, you know, just going with it. And for us in sports, you don't necessarily have that control all the time, but it's really neat to experience that and know that that type of excitement is in everyone that's there. And if the right moment happens or the right sequence of moments happens, that can, you know, be sparked and explode like it did. So it was neat to be on the good end of it. I've been on the other end of it too.
So will the siren ring this weekend at the Dawsonville Pool Room? I think there's a good chance of it. I mean, he's coming off just barely missing winning the Daytona 500. He's coming off the win last year at this racetrack. It's his hometown track. He's pretty darn good there when you look at it overall. So I kind of feel like Chase Elliott is going to be the favorite, as you heard me ask Bob Pockris, and that he could get his first win of the year there. Somebody, though, that I would pay attention to that has been sneaky good in four career races at Echo Park Speedway, a.k.a. Atlanta, Carson Hocevar. He's got a 10th, a 2nd, a 16th, and a 19th with Spire Motorsports. And you may look at that and go, okay, well, it doesn't blow you away as a second. But he, in the stages, he was, you know, 5th in a stage, 7th. I mean, he's always right around it, and he's turning into a pretty good super speedway guy. He was right there in the mix in the Daytona 500. Here was Carson Hocevar with MRN on why he's so good at Atlanta.
Well, I've been envious and watched every old bumpy Daytona race since I don't know what year. And so every time I get to run Atlanta, it just reminds me of bumpy Daytona, where you can just draft by yourself and you don't need anybody. And you can just make moves and time things. And it's basically all offense. And it just works really well for me. If this move didn't work, I'll just get back in line and make the next one. And then if that didn't work, I'll make the next one. Eventually, one of my six moves is going to work, and I'll gain spots, and then the next one works. And, I mean, ultimately, I'm just smiling the whole time because it reminds me of bumpy Daytona, and I'm getting my fix, and it's something I've always wanted to do. So that's the closest thing we got.
Use one of his six moves. He's like John Cena. He's got, instead of five moves of doom, he's got six moves of doom. But he'd be somebody, like, if you're wanting to look at, you know, kind of a maybe off the beaten path. And look, by the way, Carson Hocevar is getting better and better and better. Inspire Motorsports is getting better and better and better. Would not be shocked if Carson Hocevar does not get his first win soon, very, very soon. I mean, you look at some of the drivers that are looking, you know, Ty Gibbs, we all thought it would happen by now. Carson Hocevar is just another one. And then this guy, Noah Gregson, who is not very good at Atlanta and has struggled there. Could he turn it around? And the thing is, he's pretty good on super speedways. Like, he can hang. Could he turn it around and find victory lane? He was asked by MRN on why Atlanta has been a struggle.
Atlanta, I'm absolutely horrible at, and I've finished one of like 8 or 9 races that I've been there. So Atlanta's been really, really hard for me. And I think Atlanta's kind of been like how every track was for me last year. We've run good there, just don't have the finishes to show where we were running because we got collected in a bunch of wrecks last year, and that's what's happened to me at Atlanta, just wrong place, wrong time. I don't know if I should just roll around in the back all day and just cruise. Like, I've went with that mentality. I went with the mentality of I'm trying to go up and lead every lap, and I've only finished one of these things. So it's been a tough one for sure at Atlanta.
So maybe he can change his fortune a little bit this weekend at Echo Park Speedway or Atlanta. And get a better finish. I mean, whether it's been he ran a couple of races for Colleague or Legacy Motor Club, Stuart Haas, front row, you know, he's obviously bounced around a little. He just hasn't been able to find consistency. Maybe he can do it this weekend. Because, as we all know, and we didn't really get a chance. We had a short show last week. We didn't get a real chance to talk about this as much. It's all about consistency because the chase is back. No more winning, you're in. Just, you know, for those of you that are new to this, and thought, well, Tyler Reddick won the Daytona 500. He's in the playoffs. No, he's not. He's leading the point standings right now, but you still have to qualify for the chase, which is 16 drivers, not 10 like it once was, for the final 10 races of the year. 16 drivers get into the chase, the top 16 in points, but wins mean a lot, but they don't automatically lock you in. Points racing is officially back, which I love. I was a fan of it. So I am old school. I am fine with this being the format. So the points after Daytona are as follows. Tyler Reddick is the points leader because he has 58, but Joey Logano is right behind him with 46, Chase Elliott with 43, Zane Smith with 41, Stenhouse with 39. That's your top five. Stenhouse, Kozlowski, Buescher all have 39 points. Bubba Wallace with 37, Carson Hocevar with 36, and Ryan Blaney with 36 as well. That's how the top 10 looks. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, that you're going to have more strategy. You still might have guys going for it for the win, as they should, because, again, the win does matter. It does give you more points. But I love the idea of the chase format. William Byron was asked by the Motor Racing Network about the format changing and if he's going to miss the old playoff format.
No, I don't miss the stress of every third race, you know, and what that brings. And honestly, just the stress for 10 weeks, it was pretty grueling just to go through those emotions all the time and not always be in control of that. You know, you look at other sports and they have a 3 or 4 week playoff, and you know, ours lasts for, you know, pretty much a season, pretty much all of the fall. So it's interesting. I mean, we had good success with it, but I was pretty relieved and happy, and just thinking about what I guess my career can look like now that this is the format we have. So hopeful that they keep it for a while, and you're gonna see the fruits of your labor, good or bad, you know, in this format. So hopefully it's good for us, but you know, it's probably gonna be a little bit less unpredictable as a driver and just those emotions you go through.
I think a lot of drivers are gonna answer it that way, that they're, you know, maybe the chase wasn't what they wanted, but the way that it was, and look, I knew, you know, I was okay with winning your end for a while. But I think last year was so apparent when the best driver in the entire season finished second. And that was Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin deserved to win the championship last year. I don't care who you are and what you say. He did. Connor Zilich deserved to win the Xfinity Series championship, now the O'Reilly Series. He didn't, because of the way the format was, coming down to one race. You do the best in this race, you win the championship. Shouldn't be that way, because you know, I get you can say, well, in other sports, it comes down to one game. It's a little bit different, but also usually the best team ends up winning once you go through the playoffs. And I just feel like with 36-point paying races, if you're not, you know, if you don't get rewarded for that, then what's the point? So I wonder if they'll tweak and look at things as they move forward. But ultimately, I'm glad that it's gone back to this format, a little bit of the old school format, and we get the chase. So I think that's going to be a lot better moving forward. That is going to do it for this week's show. You probably want a prediction, don't you? I am going with Chase Elliott. I think Chase Elliott wins at Atlanta this weekend, Echo Park Speedway. He gets the dub in the second race of the year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, you can hear it on the Game Nashville Sports Network by tuning in. It's on Sports Talk 8:30 a.m., but you can also listen on the Game Nashville app. So if you listen to our daily shows via the app, all you have to do is open that up and click on Sports Talk 8:30 a.m., and you can listen to the race. That is how you can do it, or you can tune in on your radio dial 8:30 a.m. starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday. My thanks to Bob Pockrass and all of you. Subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers, and we'll talk to you next week here on 102.5 The Game.